there in music video land. And welcome to another edition of the IMVD podcast, this week in music videos, brought to you by our super good friends at imvdb.com. That's the Internet Music Video Database. My name is Adam, and with us, as usual, someone who's just flown in from Austin, Texas, and boy, are his arms tired, is Mr. Doug Klinger. I was going to do something else with that joke, but it was too late, and I just went for it. So, Doug, how are you?
Doing super good. Adam, my name is No. what were you going to do with that joke? Let's bring it out.
You know what? I just started it, and I didn't have a destination.
Oh, so you just went with
that. And I just bailed, yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Thanks for being honest.
No problem. And speaking of honesty, we have with us on the podcast, as per usual, north of the wall of FringeMusicFix.com, Mr. Adam Alexander. Adam, how are you?
I'm a little under the weather, Adam, but I'm ready to go forward anyway with another podcast.
So you've got you're a little under the weather, like a little bit of a flu going on, a little bit of the noro.
Yeah, a little bit of a flu, exactly.
Okay. Are you mourning the death of Tom Ford?
Well, you know, is it a bit too soon? I see lots of jokes about it. I don't know how to feel about that.
Well, it's Rob Ford.
But Tom Ford died too, the shoe guy. That's I knew I had gotten the guy's name wrong too, and the fact that Adam Alexander just went with it, I was like, did I not get the guy's name wrong? Are there two?
No, you know the funny thing, I say it wrong all the time. Also, I say Tom Ford often.
Oh, okay.
Well. I don't know Canadian politics, and he was part of that.
Also, speaking of politics, Adam Fairholme, are you when Donald Trump wins the presidency and builds an actual wall between the United States and Mexico, are you still going to say north of the wall?
I guess, yeah. Well, he's still going to. Well, I guess he's still
north of that wall. I'm just kidding, by the way. That Donald Trump is definitely not going to win the presidency. But
I don't know. I mean,
this is not definite. I'm going to just go on record to say that I don't want that to happen. That's what I'm going to go on record saying.
Well, if it does happen, you guys can just come bunk up with me here in Canada.
Come actually north of the wall. Yeah. Okay, cool.
I got spare rooms.
What you were going to do with that, Adam. Yeah, he is still north of that wall. Right. And we're talking about that actually exists between the United States and Canada. There's a wall there too.
Absolutely. I mean, it's more of an emotional wall, but I'm just impressed, Doug, that you knew Tom Ford was a shoe guy. I had to look that up.
Because people rap about it. Jay-Z.
Jay-Z has a line about Tom Ford.
Yeah, isn't there a song that like I rock Tom Ford?
Let's see. Survey says. Wait, apparently there is an entire song called
Tom Ford. Yeah, it's Tom Ford from Magna Carta.
Okay. I was going to joke that he had a song called Tom Ford, but
he does.
That's an actual thing. Wow, color me very surprised. I'm learning all sorts of new things so far, you guys.
This is very informative, this podcast.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, everybody here is here to listen, here to learn. And one of the things we can learn from Doug is... Ooh. A little bit about South by Southwest this year, because Doug, I mean, your arms may be tired, but I wasn't lying when I said you just got in from Austin, Texas. You were in South by Southwest, and you weren't just hanging around, maybe reading a brochure here or there and like going around talking to people at booths. You had a lot of shit going on because you were there on behalf of the website that I believe you founded, Vimeo.net.
Yeah, right. I did find it. I found it. Every time I've gone to South by Southwest, it's been for work, of course. But this time, it's for work that I actually got paid for.
Nice.
And the other two times, we just drained our bank accounts every other time. Every other time we tried to go to South by Southwest, it's like, yeah, I guess like let's just spend all of IMVDB's money to do that. That makes sense. It's like, yeah, that definitely makes sense. And we also each need our own room.
Right.
It's like, yeah. So
that actually was important.
No, it was. It definitely was. I was there. I was at South By. I was hosted a couple of screenings for Vimeo. I, you know, attended some events. I was on the music video jury. So if you got, if you can get yourselves a hand, your hands on a South by Southwest program, flip to page 109, and there's a little tiny picture of me there. So,
so what does somebody on the music video jury do? Because for those who are not aware, music videos have their own sort of section at South by Southwest. There's one group of them together, and they're not segmented out. But as part of the short form entertainment, they are one category of that, essentially.
Yeah. So the really cool thing is they give us $500,000.
Wow.
Which is great, which we can spend on whatever we want. Hmm. Only at the fest.
Right. So, it's like a company store kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all the old Mickey dollars that they stopped using. They now use them at South by. So basically I just sit, I had to watch all the music videos, me and two other fellas. And we watched all the music videos that we went to the very first, at the premiere, the music video premiere, which Adam, when we went to South by together, we also were the first in line for when we were there. And then we just kind of deliberate right afterwards. And then I just email Claudette, who's this shorts programmer, what we picked. And so the three of us just ducked around a corner. Like we went into a bar at first. You each kind of get a notepad, of all the videos, and we're each kind of scribbling notes. We first went into a bar, and they're just it's the worst bar. It was literally 90% of the bar was a mechanical bull. Literally, a mechanical bull was 90% of the floor space. And then the rest was just a little bar and a tiny table. And we're like, this is stupid. What are we doing? And then we just ducked around a corner, and we each gave a top three. And the one video that was on all three of our top threes list was Sober by Childish Gambino. Childish Gambino, directed by Hiro Murai. So made our decision pretty easy. We just said, well, that sounds like that's the winner.
And so who were the other, these are their two mysterious fellows that were also judging with you?
So they were some, a couple cool folks. And I was really nervous about who it was going to be. I was I hope it's not a couple jerks. And luckily it wasn't. Toby Halbrooks was one of the guys, and he's a filmmaker from Dallas. And he's produced a couple features and stuff. And then this guy, John Kunz, I think was his name. And he's the president and owner of Waterloo Records. It says, I like his bio on the South by Southwest site. It says he's been celebrating 33 and a third years in retailing great music. And I like the specificity of that, of the 33 and a third years. I as someone who started at Vimeo as a temp employee and now work there, they keep celebrating my year anniversary there now. And I'm like, yo, I've been here 17 months, y'all. I've been here. It's ain't a year, 17 months. I got mad respect for John repping that third year, the one third of a year, and making sure folks know that that's been there. We're in March, yo.
That's time.
Time spent. And so I've got a lot of respect for that, actually. So a couple guys, they're... I felt like it was three different kind of perspectives, and it was a pretty solid group. And it was funny too because the other each of our other two videos couldn't be further apart. We each of our top three, the other six videos were just all over the map. Hmm. And so the fact that we aligned on that Hiro video, it was tight. And it was cool.
So this Sober by Childish Gambino video has some award show legs because it won the 2015 Woody Award, which is MTV's sort of, I don't know.
Oh, wow. And that was a year ago.
That was a year ago. Yeah, the 2015. it was also nominated but did not win for Best Direction at the MTV VMAs in 2015.
It's a fantastic video. But really, so everything looked great. Up on the big screen.
How was the watch experience? You've seen that video probably 20 times before. How was it watching it on the big screen?
So it was great. And I've also seen it on a pretty big screen because we screened it at a Vimeo staff pick screening in the office.
Right.
On the big, we've got like a big screen on the first floor. And so I've seen it in big, in that like big screens, but like still a theater environment with the lights off in like theater seats where you like stand up and the bottom flips up and stuff. Like it's so, it's still different. And to see 21, 22 music videos back to back in that environment is so cool. And Hero actually had two videos in the program, and his Earl Sweatshirt video for Grief looked fantastic up on the screen. Like, couldn't believe how good it looked. It brought that video up to a new level. But everything looked good. And they were like, they were adjusting the framing on the, like the aspect ratio. Like they were closing in the curtains if the video had a, you know, like a shorter aspect ratio and stuff. They were like really everything you could do to like make it the ideal viewing environment. Was able to like through Vimeo, because I also programmed two screenings, I was able to see some of the like behind the scenes. Like I had to deliver files to South By, and like talk to some of the projectionists and stuff. And it was very interesting to kind of see it from that perspective and to like be so much more conscious about like how much running around is happening right before the screening. Like I would go to screenings, like I'd be there like maybe like 30, 45 minutes before the start and be like, all right, so here's the order. And can we like put some stuff in? Cause one of the screenings I hosted was a staff pick cinema live commentary where directors would go up and do a live commentary over top of their film. Right. Like first we would do a program of five films and then run it back again with the commentaries. Like first we'd play the film with audio, but to like try to explain that to the projectionist, like, yeah, I want to intro each filmmaker the second time around and like maybe have like a, like 30 seconds in between each film. And also can like for the second part, can you put chairs up? And I need like five microphones. And all of this is being explained, you know, in the, like as there's a line forming outside. And so I can't imagine that I'm the worst of it. Cause they took it on like that was normal. You know what I mean? Right. Like that was like, they're just used to the running around. They weren't like, oh, I can't believe you're dropping this stuff on me last minute. So I got a lot of insight into how South By works, this time around. And it was, incredibly hectic.
So everything South By last minute. But everybody there, solid pro, they can handle it. If you need a bunch of microphones, they're not going to be like, oh, I need an hour notice for that.
We don't have microphones here. Or it's like, can you just share? None of that. They've got, you know, 12 mics on demand. It's just like so much happening that I feel like the only way you can do it is right up until the minute, you know, because otherwise there's only so much time even in a year to put something like this on. So, it was sweet. It was a lot of fun. I got to see a lot of music videos. Basically every screening I went to other than the doc screening had a like music video touch to it in one way or another. Because in the animated program, there was a music video directed by Danny Madden, which is the girl in the yellow dress. What's that one? Who's that guy from that band? I think it's like Pink Floyd guy or something.
David Gilmour.
David Gilmour, Girl in Yellow Dress, was part of the animation program. Nice. I also got to see The Trust, which is Brewer's debut feature film, which stars Nicolas Cage and Elijah Wood. And it was freaking, the movie's so good. Like, these are like, I mean, Brewer is like music, you know, we've talked about Brewer a ton of times on this podcast, ton of IMDb picks. I think they did a, we've done something with them. I think it may be a video chats interview or something. But we've also spent some time at OMG Everywhere with Brewer. Like they're making they made a movie with Nicolas Cage in it. Like that's insane to me. And I have a feeling that going forward, in addition to the music video program, that's always going to be relevant. I think you're going to feel a lot more of this music video presence in the feature side of things too. Sundance Daniels won Best Director. Now Brewer with, like, you know, the theater was packed. And I went to the second or third screening of it, and the theater was packed. I had to wait in the line for an hour and a half. And big laughs and, like, killing the Q&A. Like, just, it was so cool to be able to see that.
That's the one with Sky Ferreira in it as well, I believe. I think she's in it.
I gotta fact check that. Hold on.
I'm pretty sure. I know she's got lots of movies coming up, and I think that was one of the ones I remembered reading about.
Yeah, she is. She is.
She is. And I knew that, but now that I'm thinking back, watching it, I can't quite place who she plays. Because really, the movie is for large portions of it, it's mainly the two of them. I can't place who she is, but that's. She's the other main girl. I can't remember. I was just so stunned. First of all, Nicolas Cage is huge. Nicolas Cage in this movie, like, it's part comedy, and a lot of that comedy is just like Nicolas Cage's fucking face. Like, he's so good. I mean, the writing is great. The writing is so good, and it's a film that Brewer wrote, and then the film got picked up, so it's kind of got them through and through, and it's still very much an indie film despite the big names being attached to it. But that's like going to be a movie that's going to be in theaters, and I think go see it. Everybody, if you're in the, I think it's going to be in like 15 cities or something. If you're in one of those cities, which I know one of them is definitely Sudbury, Ontario. Check it out.
In Durham, North Carolina. So it says on the Wikipedia page, I'm not sure if this is up to date, that it's going to be released on DirecTV on April 14th.
There we go.
Before going to VOD and in theaters on May 13th. So I've seen a lot of things being released to DirecTV lately, and it's kind of pissing me off because I don't really have any way to get to it. That Katy Perry behind the scenes of the Super Bowl halftime show thing was a DirecTV release.
Well, everyone's got to get their own content now. Everyone's rolling out and premiering movies, and that was a very interesting thing to talk to Brewer about, because their film got distribution before it was made. Like, as soon as Nicolas Cage signed on and was going to make the movie, the film got picked up for distribution. And so that came with that. That's like awesome, you know, but also it seems like it could come with some complications as well. But yeah, so that film had distribution before it was made. So that's like a really interesting, I don't really know too much about that distribution world, but everyone's getting their little, like, everyone's getting their hands onto stuff. And it sounds like DirecTV was going to get this movie, before it was even made. So,
and so the other interesting fact about this movie is that Jerry Lewis is in it.
Oh yeah, that I know for sure he is.
Yes.
He is. He's got a very small role, but it's such a crazy movie that fucking Brewer is like made a movie with Nicolas Cage and Jerry Lewis in it.
That really is.
I feel like Elijah Wood, you know, he, after, you know, making, you know, thousands of dollars for the Lord of the Rings series, at least thousands.
I've heard upwards of 10,000, but
man, don't quote me. Man, for only six movies. So after he like got that huge $10,000 payday, you know, it seems like he's more willing to do these, to do more indie films and stuff. He's like lives in Austin. He's just like, oh, I'm at South by anyway, just eating barbecue. So I'll come to this. I'll come to the premiere. Totally, you guys. So Elijah Wood, like, being in there makes sense. And he's seen, you know, he'll pop up in Vimeo videos and that kind of stuff. But yeah, all these other folks who found their way into the video is very interesting. And yeah, we mentioned Danny Madden. He sound designed the movie for free.
Nice.
Thanks.
Nobody slipped him a 20 at some point?
I think they bought him a hoagie.
Mm-hmm.
For one.
I mean, a good hoagie. You can make that. That's a lunch and a dinner.
Yeah, no olives for me though.
No, please no. I'm a no olive guy as well. No black olives, no regular olives. No yellow olives.
Not for me. It's cool. No olives for me though.
So you also, as you have volunteered to us as information that is, should be publicly available, you also cut the log of every outfit that you wore during the whole trip.
I didn't actually do that. I'm sorry. What? No, I didn't really do that. But I do have a mental log of it, if you want me to. So the first day I wore khakis and like a purple shirt. I wore two purple shirts over the 6 days I was there, two black shirts. Mm-hmm. I think I wore...
These are just solid print shirts, like, not, yeah, like just nothing solid, on them.
You know, American Apparel, just kind of like,
yeah.
You know, solid shirt. I wore a turquoise one, and I think that's one more. I can't remember what the fifth... or six shirts were.
Well, probably you did wear a shirt every day, though.
One day I had to switch to a second shirt. It was so sweaty outside that, and then I came back to New York where it was snowing. Like, the world is crazy. It was one day I got so sweaty that I had to go home and shower before I could do anything else, before I had to do my night activities.
So now that I know that that's a lie, I'm moving past that. So
I'm sorry. I should have warned you.
That's all right. The other question that I had was, did you run into any Vine stars while you were there?
No, but I do, Hayes Greer is in Saman's Taco Bell commercial. And I did talk to Saman a little bit about his Taco Bell commercial while I was there.
This is Saman Kesh, the director of many music videos. The only person that I've been kicked out of a restaurant with.
At South by Southwest.
It was by Southwest a few years ago. That's right. And also the director of a Taco Bell commercial. Yes.
Which we talked about.
Really? Okay, good.
That gets brought up. So, you know, it's a war story. Especially at South By.
Right.
Why did you guys get kicked out?
Because Saman was like...
We couldn't keep our hands to ourselves. No.
he was demoing his new short film, which eventually...
Controller.
Yeah.
Showing it to us, but he insisted that we watched it individually because there was a... Well, because there was only one set of headphones and we couldn't watch... Like, it was at a noisy bar/restaurant. We couldn't listen to the... You know, you needed the headphones. But, like, Adam watched it and then in halfway between me watching it, we got kicked out. And then we just stood outside of the restaurant as I finished watching the movie.
It's really the only way to watch a short film.
Yeah, right. Like a nuanced, kind of like subtle, you know, action short film is, you know, on Sixth Street in fucking Austin, Texas during South by Southwest. Yeah, totally. So, we got war stories and Saman talks about them, Adam. So deal with it.
Saman, if you're out there, I want a little kickback every time you bring that up.
And I hope Saman's out there. Where else would he be?
Yeah, Saman, you're out there somewhere. So we've been kind of away for a while, you know, like maybe 2 weeks or so. Because Doug,
you're a wafer.
Because, you know, Doug, you're at South by Southwest, and we had some other stuff going on. So the music videos have kind of piled up, which is all right. You know, we're in March. It's not exactly a huge, big music video month. Oh, the summer is we're getting into the hot stuff.
But music videos piling up. That's IMVDB's MO.
Yeah, that's right. We're
all about that.
That's our motto, IMVDB. We're very sorry.
My IMVDB, piled up music videos.
So we have some pretty interesting ones to talk about this week. So you guys want to start with the old Sia, the Sia Cheap Thrills?
Yeah, let's start with the old Sia.
Nice, because you know Sia's back with the old crew. Sia of the Chandelier fame, Chandelier, Elastic Heart, both music videos that star the one and only Maddie Ziegler as a dancer, and are directed by Sia and Daniel Askell.
Mm-hmm.
We had two of those, a number of them that are directed by Daniel Askell, but in terms of like having the three of them there, there's the trilogy, the Chandelier, 2014, and then 2015, Elastic Heart and Big Girls Don't Cry. And then we had another girl in the Alive video when we had to switch to the double, the black and white wig. So now we got a lot of shit going on. And,
yeah.
You know, who knows what she's going to do for the next video? Who knows what she's going to trot out? And then we get this Cheap Thrills video.
Which is also called, in parentheses, performance edit on YouTube, which will, I don't know what the fuck that means.
I have a feeling this might be like just her live setup that she's touring with right now, or something very similar to this. This looks a lot like every time she does an Ellen performance. It's just like the one room stage setting. I think this might be just like her touring setup.
But in its current state, without anything else, this kind of does fit the IMDb requirements for a music video.
Yeah,
it's got directors. It was filmed with intention, and they even got Ryan Heffington on board.
Right, and I think that Adam, I think you're on to something there, because A, like, we have never seen this. Like, if you're familiar with Sia's live performances, she does this all the time. And the conceit of the video is very simple. It's like a black box theater kind of thing. And there is a kind of purple backdrop with a little bit of a floor underneath, the same hue of purple. And Maddie Ziegler is dancing in her usual tan kind of leotard thing. And there's two dudes who are also dancers. And then Sia's in the corner with the characteristic hair over her eyes and the big bow. So this is something that happens, you know, no matter what, whether it's Lena Dunham dancing in a bunk bed, or, you know, actually Maddie Ziegler doing the chandelier dance on Ellen. Usually Sia's in the background somewhere, not showing her face. So
right now,
and also the other clue to this, so there's nothing else but this performance here. The other thing is that Ryan Heffington and Sia and Daniel Askell are all credited as creative directors, which seems to me to be like probably a credit that they pulled from a larger show that would have been creative directed. And, you know, they've all had a part in the conception of this, so they just pulled this little piece and said, yeah, well, you know, nobody has direct credit on any one piece of this, but so we'll just call each other creative directors. And so, you know, it's an interesting, fun music video. It has, of course, the Ryan Heffington choreography touch. I'm not sure why he wasn't fully credited as choreographer. The funny thing that kind of jumped out to me is that, I mean, the chandelier video is going on 2 years old now, and Maddie Ziegler is like a foot taller in this video than she was in the chandelier video. She's like as tall as these little, like, other dudes. Is anybody there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Doug?
Hey, sorry. Who's the guy in the cover? Who's the guy on the cover of the Sia albums?
I don't know.
I don't know, Doug.
It's different guys, though, I think. Each single has a different guy with the wave.
Oh.
I think.
Cool.
Do you guys know who this song was written for and rejected?
Not Adam. Give us the scoop.
It was for Rihanna, and someone didn't like it. Maybe Rihanna, maybe someone else at the label. But really? Yeah, this was written for Rihanna.
Man, Rihanna's turned down some so apparently We Can't Stop, that was recorded and made popular by Miley Cyrus, was also intended for Rihanna. So she must get just a ton of people just throwing songs at her.
Yeah.
And she's just like, but when somebody's like, hey, Rihanna, this one you're just going to go work over and over again, then that's this. She's like, yeah.
That's the one, yeah.
Give me
well,
that.
You know, it works.
Well, no, it's a great song, but it's just interesting how she what she's looking for in those, because Cheap Thrills and We Can't Stop are both, you know, obviously pretty amazing pop songs. So there's something about it where she was like, yeah, I'm gonna pass on that. That's part of the Rihanna touch, is what they call it.
Right. And what also is part of the Rihanna touch is Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros.
I feel like it's been a while since we've gotten an Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros video. We got one this month.
Thank God.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, come on, guys, let's get shit together.
I will say that the videos that they did with Benjamin Kutsko and also with Matt Amato, you know, they've made some great videos.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we're saying that in that way is because I don't know if this last one is quite as great. Let's ask Adam Alexander to describe this video, because he's the one most likely to tolerate it.
I'm not huge on Edward Sharp or sort of this whole new folk thing. And it's a tough video to describe.
Let's talk it out together then. Is Shot on a Knife?
Do that.
All right. It's directed by Olivia Wilde, who you might know from being a model, or
an actress.
Actress.
I feel like people know her more as an actress. She's married to Jason Sudeikis.
Is she even a model? Did I just make that up? I didn't know who she was. I mean, I do know that she's famous, but I didn't know for what. So, what is she in?
So she was in, I know her from House way back in the day, but she was in Tron Legacy and Cowboys and Aliens. I think she's mainly an actress, and she's also directed or married to Jason Sudeikis.
Right. And she directed this music video.
Right. She's going
for it. This music video that was shot on an iPhone, iPhone 6, not an iPhone SE. But it has a crew of like two dozen people at least who work on the production, just the production side of this video, which it just is curious to me. The video looks great.
It does.
For being shot on an iPhone. It's just like a weird balance to be like, we're going to shoot this on an iPhone, but we're still going to have a massive crew. I feel like the reason you shoot on an iPhone is because it's like, we're going to strip everything back. Like, we're going to get stuff that, like, there's this feature called Tangerine that was shot on an iPhone that everyone was like nuts about, because it looks really great. And also it's just got these really dynamic and interesting shots that like you could pretty much only achieve with a phone that can basically just be like thrown in the air or a camera that can be just like thrown in the air and not really worried about so much. And so to couple that with just this massive, like even bigger than a lot of other music videos would have size crew. I mean, they have, you know, a first and second assistant camera for a video shot on an iPhone. And so that's why you look so great. But conceptually, it is all over the place, from what I can tell.
Yeah, I had a really hard time zeroing in on, what was going on, really. Something is.
Well, this is one of those videos, and these come a long time to time, and I think that the one thing that this reminded me of is the Nicki Minaj, the Pink Print video. Remember that long kind of, like, long-form music video that she...
Oh, the Tyler Cohen one?
Yeah. It was, like, a 15-minute-long video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, for me, the issue with that video was that it was just... Yeah, the Pink Print movie. And... it was just kind of filled with nothing. It was just like somebody driving. And this kind of happens, like film students are often told this, because they kind of, you know, if you put 100 film students to get, you know, in a class and everybody makes like a little movie, like a good portion of them are going to start with somebody like getting ready in the morning. Because you have to tell film students, like, don't show that unless you have like a very good reason for it, like a Dexter kind of thing. Because, you know, initially I think a lot of people who are not really well-versed in being directors will kind of zero in on things that they kind of think look cool or think are interesting but don't really hold interest or have a lot of an intrinsic meaning to them, and are just sort of things to show. And that's kind of what I felt like was going on here. This was just a lot of things that were going on that didn't really have any sort of connective tissue, and some of the shots are beautiful. I mean, the screen grab from the YouTube embed, that's pretty incredible that it was shot on an iPhone and looks mm-hmm. amazing. But in terms of the actual conceptual part of this, I kind of can see how this went down. I mean, Olivia Wilde is obviously extremely talented actress, and I'm sure she does a bunch of other stuff as well. But like as a director, she didn't really bring that much to this.
No, not quite. Not quite. I want to just Because it looks so good. I almost want to, like, because I definitely read that it was shot on an iPhone. I almost want to go read some, like, double check the fact that I already pulled that this was shot on an iPhone. Because it is so, like, and that's the thing I kept thinking when watching it is how, like, technically accomplished it is. Like, they didn't just throw together a massive crew that they, like, that sucked. Like, the choreography in this video is really nice. The cinematography is fantastic. Like, the edit even is, like, does kind of assemble a bit of a flow, even though none of the images that you're seeing connect to each other. Like, the edit tries to make something out of the nothing.
Yeah.
And, like, flows very well with the song, but the song doesn't start for, like,
I think it's 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, minutes into the song, and I'm like, God, who sticks around for this?
Yeah, in terms of, like, shot on an iPhone, like, if you go to an Apple store now, you will see just giant, blown up, beautiful images, you know, called shot on an iPhone. With shot on an iPhone underneath it. So I doubt. Maybe Apple had a hand in this. I feel like if Apple did have a hand in this, it wouldn't be on YouTube. It would be on Apple Music.
Right.
But you kind of wonder I think maybe 2 or 3 years ago, shot on an iPhone meant you were in for something that was a different experience than something that would have been shot on a traditional camera. And now, shot on an iPhone, if to me, it's lost its meaning a little bit because iPhones have such powerful cameras, and even the little iPhone SE that they announced yesterday, which is the size of the old iPhone 5 or 4 even. I mean, it has like 1080p 4K video on it.
Yeah, it's still got the newest camera.
Right. It's still incredible.
It still has the iPhone 6S camera. Or whatever.
Remember, like, that Justin Bieber Nicki Minaj video where it's all from the perspective of a cell phone camera. That came out maybe in, like, 2012, and the conceit of that was like, whoa. You don't remember that? Hold on.
But here's the thing though that I think that when you're somebody like Olivia Wilde doesn't necessarily know that, and somebody who somebody who is a music video director and is direct and is kind of entrenched in this kind of world understands now how far iPhones have gone, but like a big movie star doesn't necessarily know the subtleties of like camera advancement and that type of stuff. Like they exist in a different space in the industry. And so, maybe to her, like Olivia Wilde, it's like, this still seems more novel than it is.
But I mean, all that said, I mean, she can obviously really handle an iPhone. Like this, it is like a quite, I'm really blown away that this was filmed on an iPhone.
Well, so
she's got some skill, right? If you give me an iPhone, I can't make anything that remotely resembles this.
Yeah, but it's not her. It's the DP, the two camera assistants, and the three camera operators. Like,
so what are they? Okay.
They assembled a massive crew of, like, people who just perfected the look. It's not her that has anything to do with how the video looks, necessarily. Like, she's just like, let's make this gorgeous, and then let's get five people to make it gorgeous.
It is interesting. You guys use Instagram, I know, and one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram is Hiro Murai, because, you know, if I take an Instagram picture, even if I think it looks cool, and put it up like next to like a relatively candid shot from Hiro, you know, it's embarrassing for me. I'm using the same tools, and they're not complicated tools, right? It's just Instagram and whatever filters and tools that you get from that. But there's something in like his eye for whatever it is that makes.
Well, and it's everything. It's a little bit of everything. Oh, right. And one person we forgot to mention, there's also a colorist on this video who could take any footage and make it look interesting and dynamic too. So really six people made this look great, I just don't think
we should discredit her too much. I mean, every video has a crew, and there still is some credit allotted to the director, right?
Yeah, but my thought for this would be like, why would you shoot on an iPhone if there's no novelty to be gained from that. If it just looks amazing. I mean, why wouldn't you just shoot this on Alexa? You're going to have the same amount of people.
And yeah, right, exactly. Especially if you're going to bring these six people. And also, if a video looks fantastic, you credit the cinematographer first. I mean, Hero might work with a bunch of different cinematographers, but really he's working with Larkin, and a lot of times when a video looks great, Larkin's getting the credit. But also it's a style that is carried through even in the videos that Kevin Phillips shoots for Hero. There's still kind of a Hero or Mirai kind of look to them. You know, Olivia Wilde hasn't established anything like that, so it's hard to say that she's getting some of the credit when it's a video that they're putting in the Consequence of Sound article, in the Rolling Stones article, everybody's saying it's shot on an iPhone 6. But to make it look so great, you had to get, your camera crew was five people. And then there's also two editors and a colorist. It's just a massive crew for a video that's meant to be in an iPhone. And so, and I think any of the, like, any of that look stuff, like what you're expecting out of a director is that connective tissue between those elements. And that's what it feels like this video is lacking, is like, what do this beautiful image and this beautiful image have to do with each other? And it's the director that's telling that story. And that's that story's missing from this.
Olivia,
you blew it.
I she was still great in House. She was the
best. I mean, what I'm saying is it's not a worthless video. There's a lot worse, and some credit has to go to her. And if she wasn't an actress, would you be asking these same questions? I feel like you're giving her a hard rep because she's not a director.
If she wasn't an actress, this video wouldn't be. We wouldn't even be talking about this video. The reason we're talking about it is because of this, because Edward Sharp is already the type of artist that is going to go off and go and like want to do crazy, not like wants to make this kind of like nonsense video. And a good director can rein that in and come up with something interesting, out of that. And Olivia Wilde, like, it seems like just fed into that, like, not like madness that like Edward Sharp is already looking to make in his music videos. And like, there's just no reining in of anything. It's just like, there's a good video in there somewhere. Because it looks great and the choreography is great. Like the individual elements are great on their own, but they don't work as a singular thing, and that's what a director does, is make that stuff work.
So, I got one word for you guys. It's a short word. That word is no.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You guys know what's happening. We're going to talk about this video by Meghan Trainor, you guys. So, last video, controversial. We got some differing opinions going on here. Let's see what happens with this one. This is Meghan Trainor coming back after her very successful album, Tidal, which had songs such as All About That Bass, Lips Are Moving, Dear Future Husband, and a song that I feel like they probably made a video for, we just don't have, Love You Like I'm Gonna Lose You, or whatever that one's called. And now we're back with another song called No. And there's some changes to Meghan Trainor in terms of an artist, in terms of her styling. And there are some similarities. So one of the similarities is we have a similar director, Fatima Robinson, who directed the Dear Future Husband and All About That Bass videos, is back as director. And
we also All About That Bass, which is currently the 10th most popular music or 10th most popular video ever made.
Yes, so this is going to get some play. This is not going to go unnoticed, as all of Meghan's other videos have been extremely popular. So then we also have another. This is a co-director kind of situation with Barnaby Roper. So this is a different style musically, but this is also a different kind of video. She is styled differently. She has had the same backup dancers for quite a while since the All About That Bass video. Those are gone and replaced with other dancers, which I'm a little upset about. And I don't know what to think. This is difficult to unpack. What did you guys think?
I thought that it was, so I was kind of surprised by this. You know, when I saw a new Meghan Trainor video was coming out, and particularly one directed by Fatima Robinson again, I was expecting pastels and, you know, the same kind of poppy vibe that came from the last one and the last album. And this is significantly different. And it's hard not to just kind of zero in on just how kind of different it is. It's still the type of, it still is a very sound and successful pop video, I think. It's just very, considering that she, like, All About That Bass blew up, and then they kind of, like, really leaned into it hard. Everything about All About That Bass that was, like, that seemed successful, they, like, ran with that as far as they could go. For the next step to be just like total utter switch is a little surprising.
And one thing one issue that I have with this video is I do not like the new styling of Meghan Trainor. I'm not sure she for like the main dance numbers, like it's a pretty, you know, active dance that she's doing, but she's in like a. The only way I can describe it is like the foil, the kind of shiny coat that Doc wears in Back to the Future. She has this like giant foil coat on.
When you finish a marathon?
Yeah, it's like one of those things, and it's just such an odd look, and it makes her look like weirdly wide and an like weirdly shaped person. And she also has red hair now. She looks kind of uncomfortable to be there, and it also is kind of a generic looking video. I generally enjoy Fatima Robinson videos, and this definitely disappointed me in how imaginative it was. I mean, you know, say what you will about All About That Bass and even Dear Future Husband, which was discussed at length on this podcast when it came out, but they're interesting and kind of cohesive statements as videos, and this, I mean, this could have been anybody. This could have been like a Zion, what's her name? Zion, a video or whatever.
So what do you think? What do you think makes this happen? What do you think, you know, takes something that obviously was successful the first couple times around and makes an artist just totally change it? And this is like, because the music video is how you're like, this switch might have been determined months ago, you know, right after the last music video was made. Like, they might have decided, like, we're going to do a whole image change, but most folks are getting introduced to it through this music video. I'm curious, like, what makes that happen? Like, Adam, you've talked about in rock music, when you make a second album, it ends up being a lot more like rhythm and blues inspired, more like dancey, or something like that. Am I correct in that?
I think when I was talking about that, I was talking about it in the context of Arcade Fire's last album.
Right.
Where you have an insanely... in rock, I think the general trend is if you have a really popular album, your next album, like the direction that most artists will go to, whether consciously or unconsciously, is to more like dance rhythm, which certainly happened with Arcade Fire after The Suburbs.
Right. Do you see any kind of reflection between that and what's going on here? I mean, other than the fact that, like, this is different, significantly different than what her last one is. Like, do you see any way that you can kind of see any parallels running through those?
Well, Meghan Trainor is one of the kind of rarefied or kind of new group of artists that have a really difficult problem in their outset, and that is that they have a really incredibly successful first record. And, you know, that's a pretty rare thing where you have, like, a record that has several really successful singles on it. And Tidal had three or four really successful singles with videos and has... done really well for her. It wasn't really a case like Lady Gaga's The Fame, where they did the whole re-release thing, or with Nicki Minaj's first album, where they did the re-release thing because they had more... They didn't have enough songs for an album, but they just tacked it onto the old album and called it a new one, or mm-hmm. called it a re-release. But, you know, the second album is kind of like a really well-known, really tough spot for a lot of artists. There are ton, you know, going back as far as pop music goes, there are tons of really difficult and kind of troubling second albums by artists. Like, I think one of the most famous examples is Pinkerton by Weezer, which was panned at the time, but now is sort of a cult classic. So I think there's two directions that are kind of pulling at this and resulting in what we're seeing here. One, I think, is that Meghan Trainor is a smart artist, and she is probably trying to push in a different direction. She doesn't want to be the all about that bass girl forever. And I think, you know, that is meeting with her record label, which has a stable of artists where, you know, where there are things working for them. And that is, you know, pretty well run, you know, series of images and other, you know, kind of concepts and music videos and music. So I think she has a team of a lot of people that are kind of like pushing and pulling on her. And this is just where they ended up. And unfortunately where they ended up was something that's kind of, I mean, the song is good. I think that musically there's no issue there, but like the styling is just, it kind of ended up in I feel like too many people were pulling in two different directions. They just met at the middle on something that looks like any video. It could be anybody up there.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this is the last change we're going to see for her. This clearly didn't work, and I think they're probably going to pull some other weird, complete makeover changes to her style. I don't know. This isn't it.
And I don't think... yeah, I do too. But I don't think you can even really put this on a significant shift in an artist image like this isn't coming from Fatima Robinson. It's not like, oh, you've been all about that bass girl for forever. Well, here's what we're going to go for you now. This is what I'm thinking as a music video director, and I'm going to shift your career. And right. So I don't think you can – what we're picking up on is like – it not being successful, I don't think you can really put on the directors so much. This seems like an image shift that runs really deep. And so I feel like, and Meghan Trainor's, whoever is and behind these decisions, like all of her videos have been partisan videos, and they clearly trust partisan to execute on the vision that they're seeing for this artist. And it definitely was working the first pass. But yeah, I agree. This does not seem quite as successful as even, you know, the earlier Meghan Trainor videos aren't my favorite, but, I get them a lot more than I understand this for sure.
I don't like this song, Adam. Wow. I don't like it at all.
But it's just why? What's wrong with it?
I don't think I like any Meghan Trainor songs really.
Oh, so you're a hater then? That's fine.
Yeah, maybe a bit.
Sounds like you might be a hater.
The other thing that's interesting that could maybe somebody should do some research on this, but like I feel like in especially like single lady pop songs, you can kind of tell from the look in their eyes what's going on, like whether they're actually okay with what's going on around them and whether they feel like it kind of represents them in a way. And man, Meghan Trainor for those first few videos was, you could tell, was like all on board. Like she had, like what was happening was exactly what she wanted to happen in terms of an artistic statement, you know, whether you enjoy that or not. Like the D for Future Husband video, she's like hamming it up. She's really having a good time. In this one, she looks like she's trapped. She looks like she's like, she looks super uncomfortable, and she looks like she's in need of rescuing. What was that mm-hmm. video where we said that they should blink twice if we need to click rescue them from the video?
Oh, is that like Iggy and J-Lo?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, this is very similar, right? Blink twice. And yeah. And also like Fatima Robinson, blink twice if you don't want to make this.
Yeah. That was the that was the Trouble video with wait, what was this video? I gotta see this video. It was Booty with Jennifer Lopez, directed by Hope Williams. Iggy Azalea. And that's a kind of, I feel like Iggy Azalea and Meghan Trainor at right now, if you put them in those two in a room and said nobody's listening to you, they would talk about how like they got into these music video situations and they just they didn't kind of know how to stop it, I guess, stop the artistic train.
Oh man.
Boy. It's tough.
Really I am wearing that same kind of post-marathon silver jacket right now, though, and it's really great.
I mean, like it's cold up in New York.
It is still cold up here, and these things keep the heat in surprisingly well. Like, you look at it, and it almost looks like a joke, but they're actually really effective.
So. I feel like if you walk around New York, like, somebody might just put one of those on you and you don't really know who it is or what's going on.
No, but you accept it.
Right. You're so, like, you just give a nod and you continue walking. That's the New Yorker kind of way, right?
Yeah, right. It is. Took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, I think we may have gone done and done did it is what they say in the South. And
I don't know anybody who says that in the South, but I'll take your word for it.
You were just in the South. Nobody said you gone done did it.
you got it, did it. No, nobody said that. I did have some very talkative Uber drivers, though. We should mention that a lot of the Uber drivers in Austin, Texas, want to talk to you.
They're Uber driving at a pretty neat event. You never know at South by Southwest who you're going to pick up.
No, you're right. One of the guys told me that he picked up some gal from a reality show. Ooh. It was remarkable.
And Uber drivers, I think on the whole, like, I feel like if you, like, every time I get in a taxi, like, the guy just barely talks to me, but anytime I get in an Uber, they're ready, and they're ready to learn, and their hearts are open.
You're very correct on that.
Adam, have you ever ridden in one of the Uber cars? I have not that much, but I have.
No, I've not at all.
Adam, we
heard many stories, but
we got to get together. We're going to get together, maybe in New York even. We're going to ride all together in an Uber and take a selfie.
Yeah, we should.
And if the Uber driver tries to talk to us, we're just going to stare straight ahead.
Yeah, we're going to say no, Uber driver. I might see Adam Alexander in Toronto.
This really? Is true.
You going to Toronto, Doug?
Yeah, I might try to go to Prison Prize.
Excellent.
And Adam Alexander might try to go to Prison Prize.
So we should just mention real quick for anybody who doesn't know, today the Prison Prize 10 were announced, and you can go to imvdb.com and up at the top you go to browse and then awards, and Prison Prize is listed as one of those.
South by Southwest is there too, so if you want to check up on the music video screenings or the music videos that screened at South by, you'll find those there as well.
Adam, how did you feel about the top 10 that they picked for Prison Prize?
I was pretty happy with some of them. There's some good ones in there. I was a juror, and most of the ones that I voted for made the top 10, so I was pretty happy.
Excellent. Did you vote for Hotline Bling?
I did not vote for Hotline Bling.
I did.
You did. Good video, though.
I did.
Doug, you were also a juror?
Yeah.
Nice. Were you a rural juror?
Yes.
Okay, that's a... Yeah, 30 Rock joke for you guys. Okay, so but
I was gonna. It's funny too because like I feel like maybe you were holding on to that joke because we talked about me being a juror earlier, and the fact that I feel like that joke didn't come to you in this last hour. So I'm glad that you had the opportunity to pull
it. Marinated. It was good. I caught the reference.
You absolutely shoot, Adam. You absolutely voted for the Flesh Without Blood video.
Yeah, I did. Sorry, guys.
I saw that. I was like, I know where I came.
It was just Doug and I. We were the only jurors that voted in time. So,
I don't know about that. There's a lot of prism jurors, though. If you look at the jurors,
yeah, it's a huge list.
It's not three guys in a theater.
No,
but it's. I think that's good. It's a lot of it's a lot of the who's who of music videos.
That's right.
Yeah.
So anybody who wants to see more, learn more, just go to the old imvdb.com. Don't go to the old imvdb.com. That doesn't go anywhere. Go to www.imvdb.com and check out the videos that we list in the podcast. Go to podcast, click it right up there. You'll get all the stuff. You should definitely check out the last few episodes. It's been good stuff. The 5-year plan, episode 185, and feats of organization 184. All tight. And we will see you guys next year, or next week, or year.
take your pick.